Hi everybody, and welcome to our stream again this morning. You join us for part two of a message called A Time to Progress, something that I feel strongly is a word from God for us as a church. So if you haven't watched part one, then I encourage you to watch part one and then come and revisit part two here today with us. And as we often do, we're going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to help us not only hear what's being said today, but to put into action that God can change us and transform our lives. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which challenges us, which encourages us, which strengthens us. And I pray that we would be open to your Holy Spirit today to learn the lessons for our own individual lives, that as we hear what's been taught, that we'll apply it to our lives, and more importantly, that we'll act on what we hear. Holy Spirit, come and teach us what it means to obey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, at home, we quite like to grow some stuff with mixed success. At times, some things that we've grown at home have worked really well, and at other times, they've been a little bit of a disaster. But we understand that there are different seasons. You can't grow stuff out of season. It just doesn't generally work. There are seasons in the created order in which to grow things, and that may make a difference about when you plant and when you sow things. And so last week we began this series that we're concluding today of something I feel strongly relevant to the church, and that's a time to progress. And we looked at several key words from Ephesians chapter 4 about speaking, about joining, about growing, about building, about loving, about working. And we looked at this idea particularly of growing, and that this is a time to progress by growing in several key areas. Growing in our identity as a child of God. Growing in our ability to love well. Today, we're looking at these three. Growing in the stewardship of our gifts. Growing in our soul through grief and loss. And growing in our character and knowledge. So let's begin to look at this idea, first of all, of it's time to progress by growing in the stewardship of our gifts. I remember many years ago, one of my old pastor talking about the gifts, and he shared from Psalm 100 verse 2, and this idea, and particularly something like the English Standard Version, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Paul says in 1 Corinthians verse 12 that we should serve according to God's grace, by the grace that's given to us. All of the gifts that we have are by God's grace. They're not badges of merit. It's not what we earn. The Greek word, the original Greek word, literally means that it's the results of grace. They're literally gifts of grace. So everything that we can do to serve God is because of God's grace, and because of that, the Bible is very clear that we are to be stewards of that gift. One of the early church leaders, Peter, says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, a very important truth about grace and the gifts. Whatever gift each of you may have received, use it in service to one another, like good stewards, dispensing the grace of God in its various forms. Are you a speaker? Speak as if you uttered the oracles of God. Do you give service? Give it as the strength which God supplies. In all things, so act that the glory may be God's through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So can you see that idea? It's God's grace that allows us to have the gifts in the first place. And because of those grace gifts, we have to be good stewards. We have to be responsible. We have to be proved faithful in what the gifts God has given us. In the Bible, a steward was a trusted manager of a household, a palace or a large estate. Often they were second only to the king or to the ruler, and would have access to the king's treasury, the royal estates, and maybe even some military assets. At times they were representatives of the king, who were there to carry out his work until the king returned. And one of the mysteries of God's grace is that we are entrusted with such a task. And I know from personal experience that one of the greatest ways that we grow is by using our gifts. So I want to put this challenge out to some of you. Are you using your gifts? Are you being a good steward of the gifts that God has given you? Because one day the king will return and he will ask you, what have you done with what I've given you? That's the parable of the talents in the Bible. See, I'll have to give an account for my gifts, not yours. And you'll have to give an account for your gifts, not mine. It's all because of God's grace. But if you want to grow, and if you want New Life Church to progress and grow, then truthfully, we're going to need people who are going to grow in the stewardship of their gifts, that are building together, that grows itself up in love, Ephesians 4:16, as each part does its work. So are you working to build the church? Second thing, it's God's time to progress by growing in our soul through grief and loss. Just stop for a moment and think about how much loss has been experienced in the last year. Do you know what? We can't just gloss over that with a few nice prayers or a few Bible verses. It's a reality of life. It's something that's affected us all worldwide. There's never been a time like this before. Many people will pretend it doesn't hurt when really it does. And trying to escape from that reality doesn't help our spiritual life. In fact, we need an absolute commitment to truth in order to grow. We can't have spiritual shortcuts over our wounds, over our hurts, but we can allow God to transform them. They may not change the circumstances, but we can transform the perspective and allow God to work in that. I shared a little bit of a message on that on Sunday, the 21st of February, 2021. It's streamed on YouTube, so you can go back and talk and find a little bit more about that. But it's not only that we shouldn't pretend or shouldn't deny them. The truth is, for many of us, we don't actually know what to do with our losses. We don't know how to process them. We don't know how to grieve. Because death, any form of death, but particularly physical death in our societies, is pushed to the sidelines. We use all sorts of euphemisms for it. We don't like talking about it. We don't like facing the reality of it. And many times, we just think to ourselves, I'd rather just get back to work. But when we think of grief in the Bible, we see that they spend long periods of time. In fact, in other cultures apart from the British culture, there is a time of mourning, there is a time of grieving where people don't feel they can move on until that period is passed. And maybe in the Western mindset, in the Western cultures, when we read the Bible, so for example, they grieve for Moses for 30 days. And sometimes we might think, why don't they just go back to work? Why don't they just get on with it? That's often a Western mentality. Why can't we get back to normal? As well as you need to unmute. I think that's one of the most common phrases. Let's just get back to normal. But you see, that's not always easy. We may have to learn to live with our grief and losses. Job, in the Bible, faced a lot of loss. In fact, he lost everything in one day. His family, his wealth, his health. And yet, incredibly, he didn't blame God. Instead, he did something beautiful. He worshipped God. Despite his family telling him to curse God and die and just give up, Job didn't do that because he processed and grieved his losses in the best way possible. He brought it to God. He worshipped God even in the midst of his grief and loss. You can grieve in a healthy way, according to the Bible. You can grieve in a way that helps you grow. If you want to talk a little bit more about that, specifically as an issue, then get in touch with us, social@newlifecrawley.church. But one of the healthiest things that we can do, it's also the right thing to do, it's also the biblical thing to do, is to grieve our losses and allow it to grow us. 3 John verse 2 says this: Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Some versions say, even as your soul prospers. We can have soul prosperity. And as we look back on the last year with all the challenges and the difficulty that bring, I think we're going to have to grow in this area of understanding grief and loss and bringing it to God and allowing God to use it to allow our souls to grow. We'll talk about more about that in the incoming months. Finally, it's God's time to progress by growing in character and knowledge. Peter insists on knowledge as essential for growth in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way the language is originally formed is quite forceful. It's in the original language, it's present active imperative. What that means is this: it's the present tense. It's not something in the past or in the future. It's something we need to do now. It's active. It's something that we have to take responsibility for, not be passive about. It's imperative. In other words, it's a command. So the command is, keep on growing. And that's in contrast, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, it's in contrast to verse 17 and the whole chapter, where people who had been carried away by all sorts of false teaching and strange teaching, and they were beginning to lose their secure footing in their faith. They weren't joining, they weren't connecting, they weren't loving, they weren't supporting, they weren't serving, and they were losing their secure footing in faith. And he says, beware that you don't be like that. Be constantly guarding yourself, because we need to grow in knowledge and in grace. Unfortunately, it is possible to grow in knowledge, to have some Bible truth in our heads, but never be growing in grace. By that we mean showing Bible truth working out in our life. Peter wants us to have that balanced life. We should learn. We should grow in our knowledge, but we should also grow in how we live the word. Learn the word and live the word. Incredible statement, reflecting on Jesus' early life, that Jesus grew in favor and stature with God and man. So God wants us to be growing in our character. God wants us to be growing in our knowledge. Be constantly growing. We must grow in grace. And this has to do with Christian character. The very things that Peter actually wrote about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. The character that Paul wrote about in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And sometimes that will mean growing through trials and difficulties. Sometimes we never really experience the grace of God until we're at the end of our own resources. And the lessons of the school of grace can be costly, because we may have to humble ourselves before God. We may have to say sorry. We may have to apologize. We may have to turn away from the things that we know are wrong. It's easier to grow in knowledge than it is to grow in grace. But we must grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 5-7, as we've said, says this: For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. So over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at 5 things that I think God wants New Life Church to grow in, you as an individual and us as a church together. I think he wants us to grow in our identity as a child of God. I think he wants us to grow in our ability to love well. I think he wants us to grow in the stewardship of our gifts. So we need to get active. He wants us to grow in our souls through grief and loss, and processing them in a healthy and biblical way, which God can use to transform us. and growing in our character and knowledge, be continually growing. It's a command, not a suggestion. So I want to finish today's message by leading you in a responsive prayer. For those of you who are on YouTube or on Facebook, you can respond directly on the chat facility, and you can respond with the simple phrase, "I will." So I'm going to read it, and you'll see on screen the opportunity for you to respond. I want to encourage you to do that out loud, wherever you are, to make that decision that you will respond, that you will be committed to growth, that you will be pursuing the high calling of God in your life. So as I read it, why don't you join with me as we pray together? This is a commitment for everyone to continue following Jesus, make progress. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching, in relationships, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer, as Acts 2:42 illustrates? We said together, with the help of God, I will. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? With the help of God, I will. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? With the help of God, I will. Will you seek and serve Christ with everyone, loving your neighbor as yourself? With the help of God, I will. Will you acknowledge Christ's authority over human society by prayer for the world and its leaders, by defending the weak, and by seeking peace and justice? With the help of God, I will. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. May you be rooted and grounded in love and develop in the gifts and fruit of the Spirit. Amen.